I mean, when I was in California, I really felt the power of the Holy Spirit, you know, touch me. Some people call it anointing, some people call it impartation, some people call it, you know, flowing, Holy Spirit flowing through you. Some people even call it baptism of the Holy Spirit, you know, baptism of the Holy Spirit. And, you know, God used me to heal my mom, you know, with anointing oil, who was hard of hearing. She got healed from that. And then I prayed for my brother-in-law, or his knees, and he got better. And I'm still testing, you know, is this still better? And I don't want to, you know, it could be a placebo thing, I don't know, you know. I'm still testing, you know, calling, he still feel better. And I was able to minister to several people, and I felt this anointing of the Holy Spirit. But then I come back Monday, and I didn't feel anything. I was empty, I was tired, I was depressed, you know. And what I realized about Christian life is not about one time the Holy Spirit touches you and that's it. But what you will, part of life is you will become empty. Right? If somebody says, I'm always filled with the Holy Spirit, you are lying. Okay? You are lying. I'm going to follow you, you know, and go home and see what you're like at home. You know, I'm going to follow you. But what I realize about Christian life is, yes, Holy Spirit, God touches you and he uses you. And there's, you'll also grow empty. But the problem with us is that when we go empty, we just leave it alone. And we just keep going on empty. I believe baptism and being filled with the Holy Spirit is when you're empty, you need to, or, you know, when you're getting drained, you need to be filled again. It's a continual filling you need to go through. Continual touching by the Lord. Continual revelation. Continual being led by God. Right? It's not a one-time thing. It's not a one-time thing, but a continuum. And kind of related to the message, how to be filled, that's what I want to talk about. But what I realized as I gave this message to the teachers, for children's teacher, that I kind of forgot how to, I didn't talk about how to be, you know, the title is Be Still. Say that to your neighbor, be still. Okay? And I talked about being still, but I didn't talk, and I realized I'm not talking about how to be still. So that's part two, okay? That's part two, next Sunday. So be still. Psalm is from Psalm 46, verse 10. Be still and know that I am, this is God saying this, be still and know that I am God, okay? Be still and know that I am God. So this verse, you know, to know God, we all want to know God. Yeah, I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand. I believe everyone here, or you wouldn't be here, okay? You would be in a bar somewhere or something, you know, or playing golf right now, you know, on a Sunday. But you are here in this sanctuary because you want to know God. Amen? Okay? And this verse says, if you want to know God, it doesn't say be busy, eh? To know God. It doesn't say be in a hurry. It doesn't say have a lot of activities to know God, right? Right? I'm not, you know, that's what this passage doesn't say build a huge ministry to know God. It doesn't say you need a multi-million dollar budget as a church to know God. It says, very simply, be still. Okay? Be still. And here's the problem. This culture that we live in, we do not know how to be still. We don't. Okay? We live in a tremendously stressed out culture. This is a stressed out culture. It is. If you go to other countries, I think this is the most stressed out culture, you know, especially in the East Coast here. And there are, for us, there are hundreds of things that's competing for our attention, our focus, you know, our mind. And because of this, our mind, right, is all over the place. You don't think so, it is, you know. It's all over the place. There, so in this culture, there are many things that stress us out, many things that upset us. There are many things that frustrate us. There are many things that scares us. Many things that scares us. And in that state, you know, what I realize is people, you know, because I'm a pastor, you come to me all fearful, all stressed, all anxious, right? You come to me as a pastor, and you know, this is my job. So, you know, you don't come to me when everything's fine. You always come to me when you're all stressed, okay? When something's going wrong, you're having difficulties, you know, and there's a lot of, that's when you come to me and say, you say, I want to know God, what he's doing. I want to know his will, okay? And the thing, what this passage says is that if you're all stressed and all upset and all scared and frustrated, you will have a very difficult time knowing what God is doing in your life. Huh? You will have a very difficult time knowing his will. Huh? Because when you're in that state, the fear will speak to you, and you will mistake fear as the voice of God. Shame will speak to you. Huh? Distress will speak to you. And so what this Bible is saying is, No, the first step is not let those things influence you anymore. You got to get to that place of stillness. And then you'll know God will speak to you. God will show you. He'll give you discernment. You'll see, you'll be able to discern the lies and the truth. And you'll be able to pick out the truth. And you will know God. Does that make sense? Right? But so here's the problem. This is the problem that you and I have, right? Growing up in this culture, you know, we don't know how to be still. Right? We don't. Right? You don't. I don't. So I'm trying to learn. I'm learning. I'm on this journey. I'm learning how to be still. You know, to be good at something, it is not automatic. It doesn't just happen. Okay? To be truly good at something, it takes practice. Okay? It takes practice. To be good at any musical instrument, even the triangle, I found out, you know, even the triangle, it takes practice. Okay? It takes practice. It takes discipline. You know, to hit a three-pointer consistently, you're going to have to take thousands of shots. You can't just do it, you know, I take five shots and I'm really consistent at hitting that three-pointer. No. Yeah, the NBA players, they take thousands and thousands and thousands of shots, right, to be good at something. Right? And what are we good at then? Because we put so much time and effort into it, we are very good at being anxious. You know why? You practice it all the time. Hello? Huh? You practice it all the time. You're very good at being busy because you practice it all the time. Right? You practice it all the time. You're good at being scared and fearful. Why? You practice it all the time. Right? How do we get good at lacking faith? You practice lack of faith all the time, and you get better and better and better at it. How many of you want to get really good, be good at being anxious? Yeah, nobody. Yeah. How many of you want to live a life of fear? Nobody, right? Well, you're becoming very good at it. Don't raise your hand if you think you're really good at being fearful, being all stressed out. You know why? You put a lot of time into it. Huh? You put a lot of practice into it. Some of you are an expert at being fearful. Huh? But we don't want to become an expert at those things. But we don't know how to be still. We're not good at being still because we don't put much effort and time into it. We don't practice it. Okay? We don't practice it. And, you know, the monks, you know, in the old days, hundreds of years ago, you know, hundreds and hundreds of years ago, the monks, they devoted themselves to meditation. You know, the meditation was so important to Christian monks that they would isolate themselves to meditate, And they would take a biblical truth and they would meditate on it. To me, meditation is learning how to be still. Okay? Learning how to be still. And so they learn what it means is if you really want to know truth, biblical truth, okay, you need to know how to calm yourself down. How many of you go, God spoke to me, you're all stressed, you're upset, you're frustrated, you're angry, and you read a verse, oh, I really understand that verse. Doesn't happen. What? You got to learn how to calm yourself down, you know, just breathe. Okay, learn, you know. If you don't know how to breathe, like, that means you're all stressed. Learn how to calm yourself down. Go into, you know, the state of, the Bible calls peace. Peace that transcends all understanding, that will guard your heart and mind. See, if you do not know how to be still, you won't have that peace. And this peace that God gives you, if you learn how to be still, is that peace that will guard your heart and mind. In Philippians chapter 4, it says, that will guard your heart and mind. Right? And you know, what it means is your heart, when you know how to be still, your heart and your mind is prepared for truth. Okay? You'll go deeper in your prayer and meditation on the Word of God. And you will be able to hear and discern the voice of God. The voice of God. How many of you know if you, like, in anxiety and stress, you know, I want to know God, and you just make the first good idea that you make that decision, the first good idea you think, was that God? No, you responded to stress and anxiety. It wasn't to God. You responded to first good idea. Well, that's what it was. And so you got to learn how to be still. You know, nowadays, honestly, our mind is not at peace, right? It's rarely at a calm place. And our mind, we don't know how to focus. Right? We don't know how to be still. If I told you, don't think about anything, right? Don't think about anything. Right now, half of you are going, why is Pastor Sam telling me that? You thought about something. Don't think about anything. Tay's thinking about football, you know? Most of us can't even do that for 15 seconds, okay? So then you won't be able to meditate on the truth. For example, there's this truth. This is a biblical truth. I am a child of God. Proclaim that, 1, 2, 3. It is when you can meditate on this truth, when you know how to be still, that you could go deeper into that truth. That truth, I am a child of God. You know the depth, you know the width, you know the height, you know the length of this truth. Right? If you are always just anxious, pressure, right? Everything's pressure, you know very superficially this truth. You know, the reason I want to talk about this is because it's about the anointing of the Holy Spirit. It's about revival. And, you know, God's been speaking to me that God's going to use this church for revival. Huh? Yeah, God's going to use this church for revival. When I was younger, I would call myself this revival chaser. Or revival groupie, I don't know what you call it, you know. And so when I was younger, I would hear about revival in Florida. So I buy a plane ticket and fly to Florida. I will hear about revival in Cambodia, and then I'll buy a plane ticket and go to Cambodia. I will hear about a revival that was happening in Canada, and I'll buy a plane ticket, I'll travel up to Canada. And I will hear revival about China, and I'll go there, you know? And but here's the problem with what I saw. This is what I saw, this is my opinion. The problem that I saw with revival nowadays is that it won't last too long. It won't last too long. And the people leading that revival, they were not evil, they were not bad, you know. I really believe, they wanted to do the right thing, and they, praying and listening to God. But in my opinion, what happens is people who were leading the revival that God called them to lead, eventually they kind of lose focus. It's very easy to lose. When I look at some of the people leading those, they are much more talented than me. Okay? They're smarter than me. Okay? They're better than me in every way. And this is what kind of scares me. They're smarter and more talented, they have more resource than me. But this scares me because, wow, why didn't it last too long? And this is my opinion, is just that over time, you lose focus, and it's very easy to lose focus, okay? And it's because I believe they did not know how to be still. I thought this was a great revelation, but this is my opinion. But they did not know how to be still. What happens when you don't know how to be still? You start to operate ministry out of pressure. And I know pressure in ministry. Many of you know what that pressure is like. Okay? You start to operate ministry out of fear. And then you start to operate ministry out of human effort. Without realizing, revival is not about being still. Your battles against anxiety and condemnation and shame and fear, right? So that you can walk in faith. And to do that, you gotta be still so that you could be focused and you could discern. Right? But what happens is when you don't know how to be still, you're just busy, right? Oh, there's all this pressure. There are more people coming and you don't know what to do. So you just have a lot of ideas and you try to do different ideas. And then what happens? Revival is about becoming big. Revival becomes building a personality. Revival becomes fundraising and raising more money. And when that happens, revival will die eventually. Huh? It will die. When you, as a church, when we don't know how to be still, right, this is what will happen. How many of you, your life is just anxiety, anxious, stress, and, you don't know how to focus then. Okay? When you lose focus, revival becomes something else. It is not about hearing God and obeying the commandment, what God tells you to do. You start doing your own thing. Okay? You start doing your own thing. But when that is that kind of revival, I don't want to get to that place. You do your own thing. Oh, God told me to do this. God convicted me. God showed me. God gave me this dream. Right? And without knowing, it's not God. It's us. Right? And when it's us, revival will not last. Revival will not last. And so, this is my challenge to Catalyst, the body of Jesus Christ. JFM, Jericho Fall Ministry and Beautiful Gate Ministry, you guys are praying about revival for the youth in the region and revival for this region, you know, and Catalyst as a church. Well, as a church, we have to be good at being still. Not when revival hits, then it's too late. We have to learn to be still before revival hit to hold the revival. We have to prepare now to be able to hold the revival. Why is it important to be still? First point, I only have 2 points. When you don't know how to be still, we live like God doesn't exist. What I'm trying to say is when we can't be still, the biblical stillness, we're acting like unbelievers. You see, when we talk about being a Christian, we have our, so many of us have a different list. Being a Christian means not smoking. Being a Christian means driving speed limit, you know, or something like that, you know. Being a Christian, you cannot watch rated R movie. If you're watching, you're not being a Christian, you know. Being a Christian means a certain political party. The Bible says, if you don't know how to be still, you don't know God. If you don't know how to be still, you do not know God. So what does it mean to live like God doesn't exist? You know, well, if you worry a lot, that's the opposite of being still. So if you worry a lot, Matthew chapter 6 verse 30 says, if you worry a lot, you have no faith. So if you don't know how to be still, that means you just worry a lot. So when you worry a lot, you're living like God doesn't exist. That's what being worried means. You're living like God doesn't exist. If you live in fear, that's the opposite of being still. When you live in fear, you're not living by faith. You know, what it means, if you live by fear, every time something goes wrong, you think the worst. That's what fear means. You know, you think the worst. There's no hope. When you live in fear, you're living in stress and anxiety. You're running away from things. You're hiding things. You're isolating yourself. You're building walls. Why do we do that? Well, when we do that, it's saying you're living like God doesn't exist when you don't know how to be still. This is all of us. You know, another thing that we do that shows that we're living like God doesn't exist is a busy life. Hello? A busy, busy life. You see, if you don't know how to rest, spiritual rest, I don't mean vacation rest. I don't mean vacation rest. Nowadays, vacation rest is more stressful, especially if you have kids, you know. It's just more stressful. You're so stressed. You know, you go out with your spouse. Let's have fun. So you have this pressure. Let's have fun. Can you imagine this culture? We are stressful about having fun. we get anxious about everything now. Because my family were planning a vacation together, And it's stressful because I got to, you know, think of good things, you know? I got to make sure we have fun. So when you, when your life is getting busier and busier and busier and busier, it's the opposite of being still. Huh? And without knowing, if it's just getting busier and busier and busier, and you say, I can't stop that. No, that's not a biblical attitude. Right? When you're going busier and busier and busier, you know, because, you know, this job, you know, is treating me like a slave, you know. I have no choice. I remember, you know, when I counseled somebody, you know, in the other church, you know, they are like dictators. And then only, you know, the advice that I gave this person, just say no. They want you to say, I can't. And that person did, and they go, okay. That's what they, you know, don't set any boundaries. You gotta set some boundaries. Because if you are getting busier and busier and busier without knowing, you're operating from pressure, not presence. I like, you know, did you guys, when I came up with that, I go, wow. So I gotta say that again. Right? Without knowing, when your life is just getting busier and busier and busier, you're operating from pressure and not presence. Okay? Not presence. Okay? You know, and the devil's trick is so that you become busier and busier so that life becomes a competition, not working with others. Life becomes acceptance from people. A lot of time we are more busy because you want to please people. You want acceptance from people. You want people's applause. Right? And not God's acceptance. And without knowing, and this is the goal of the devil with busy life, you start to build your own empire, your own kingdom, and not God's kingdom. Okay? And not God's kingdom. So, we don't want to go there. Right? But instead, when we know how to be still, when we know how to be still, we are able to trust God. That's why it's so important to get there. The stillness, the biblical stillness. You are able to trust God. You know, because there are many different voices that we hear in the modern culture. Social media, you know, the busyness of life, stress and anxiety, worries, fear, shame, condemnation, you know, and brokenness. All those, there's those voices out, you know, just hitting us every day. Every day. Materialism hitting us every day, those voices. Learning to be still, okay? What you're saying, when you put effort in learning to be still, you're putting God's voice as a priority. Okay? What it means is, to be still, it means you're humbling yourself before God. You're making yourself teachable, available, and open. Be still and know I am God, God says to us. Another translation for that word, still, I mean, you cease striving. You are able to let go. Here's a problem, with Christian life. It's not from God, but it's important to you, right? And you can't hear God because you can't let go. You can't let go. You can't relax. You can't wait upon the Lord. See, when you cease striving, when you're able to relax, when you're able to let go, you're able to wait. When you're able to wait. Think about waiting. You know what's required to wait? Trust. Trust. You know, as parents, you have a child, you know, I'll be back. You go. You know, they don't, that little kid don't know how to trust. They don't know. They got to learn. Eventually, you know, parents says, okay, I got to go, but I'll be back. They realize, I could trust my parents. They do come back. It takes trust to wait, to be still. Being still, I do teach it. Okay? Being still doesn't mean not doing anything, but it is a measurement of trust. Right? And as a Christian, this is one of the most difficult things to learn how to do. It's not easy. It's really not easy. Because when you try to be still, the devil will not like it. He will put things in your mind. Right? He will put condemnation. He will put dirty thoughts. Right? He will make you anxious. He will, you know, somebody will call. You know, somebody will call. You get a traffic ticket, you know. Okay, I want to get closer to God. You know, I want to know Him more. And you get a traffic ticket. God, you know. It's not easy. But this is what the passage, Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31 says. Okay, Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like an eagle. They will run and not go weary. They will walk and not be faint. This is the biblical text that I use to argue what I'm saying in this message. But those who hope in the Lord, those who hope, another translation for that word is those who wait on the Lord. What? Meaning those who know how to trust the Lord. And the word that I use in this sermon is those who know how to be still. Those who wait. Those who know how to be still. Right? What happens? What does this passage say? Those who know how to be still will renew their strength. Meaning they are able to hold revival. They will soar on wings like an eagle. Doesn't mean you will be perfect. Doesn't mean you're never going to struggle. Doesn't mean you're not going to make a mistake. That's not what it's talking about. But this is what I'm learning. You know, again, God will use me. He will touch me. There's an anointing. I'll feel really good. I feel like, you know, faith. And then next day I feel weak. And I got to learn how to wait on the Lord, and I will renew my strength. Okay? But not just renew my strength. They will soar on wings like an eagle. They will run and not go weary. They will walk and not be faint. I take that as I will be able to hold the revival that God gives. I'll be able to hold the revival that God gives. Okay? You know, there's going to be lies hitting you. There will be spiritual warfare. There will be bitterness. Right? There will be shame. There will be fear. Right? And this is my challenge to this church, and this is a challenge to myself. Right? You know, don't watch TV. It doesn't help you. You know, don't numb yourself because of those things with porn or alcohol or food. Right? Don't numb yourself. Right? Let's practice being still. Learning how to be still as a church when all those things hit us. Right? And I know this is happening in our church. Many of you are facing one of the greatest challenges in your life. It is. You are. the greatest, that's where I am now, too, in my life. Right? And why? Right? See, the power, you know, men will understand this. I'm saying this to you guys, you will not know how to handle power unless you take a journey of powerlessness. Right? I should write that down. You will not know how to handle true power. I don't mean money power. Well, that's what we go for, money power. That's not true power. Power of the Holy Spirit. Right? You will not know how to handle true power unless you take this journey of powerlessness. That's why you're facing the greatest challenges of your life right now. Right? That's why you're facing it right now. Now, you know, the enemy, okay, this is where we are as a church. I'm speaking prophetically. The enemy fights. He's fighting us the hardest right now. Why? Because we're closest to the greatest breakthrough in our life. Okay? If you are thousands of miles away from breakthrough, he will leave you alone. But as you get closer and closer to breakthrough, he gets a little nervous, right? And go, wait, we gotta slow this church down. Okay, we gotta slow this church down. They're getting too close to breakthrough. Demons, you know, attack. And then as you get closer to a great breakthrough, great revival, the enemy will attack you more. And this is happening to us as a church. Okay? So let's have a biblical perspective of what's going on in our life right now. And David, the greatest challenge to the promise of God happened just before he became a king of Israel. It was the worst time of his life. You know, there was no, if it seemed the situation seemed hopeless. The Amalekites came and stole everything, even the family, right? And even his own men wanted to stone him. And that's devastating. You know, here's David, the men that he mentored, discipled, and helped so that they became strong, turned against him. Okay? And there's a verse in that passage. It says, David strengthened himself in the Lord. David strengthened himself in the Lord. This passage said the Lord will renew their strength. David strengthened himself in the Lord. So this passage shows me, how did he do that? He knew how to be still at that time. Okay? He knew how to be still. I've been discipling you, praying for you, and taking care of you and counseling you. You all stand up with rocks and you want to stone me. I don't know if I could be still at that time. I'll be angry, I'll be upset, I'll be disillusioned. Maybe I'll pick up a rock and throw it back at you. You know, I don't know. Right? But the Bible says he strengthened himself in the Lord. And this passage says, how do you strengthen yourself in the Lord? For those who hope, those who wait, those who know how to be still. In the Lord will renew their strength. Will renew their strength. And then what happened? In that midst of everything falling apart, he was able to pursue the Amalekites, fight the Amalekites and win, and took back everything that was stolen. And 3 days later, he becomes the king of Israel. Okay? 3 days later, he becomes the king of Israel. Now, this is, you are being hit with some of the greatest challenge. I am being hit with some of the greatest challenge. Some of the greatest spiritual battle. Okay? And this is not the time to embrace the lies and listen to the lies and identify with the lies. This is, you know, it's not just looking for answer or good ideas at this time. If you do that, I don't think there will be a breakthrough. The Bible says David strengthened himself in the Lord. And to do that, we got to learn how to be still. And the Lord strengthened David. Amen?
Okay, let's pray.